You're listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Episode number 77, right? Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still confused.
It is episode 77. Last week, we said it was 77, but it was actually 76.5 because it only ended up to be about 20 minutes.
I'm glad they didn't make us like do a simple math test to get this job or anything like that. Because we wouldn't be here.
What, wasn't it just, can you talk on the radio and are you willing to play Dragon Force on occasion?
Can you press buttons and not sound always like an ass?
And do you hate making money?
You're hired. You're hired, all of you. Anyway, my name's Ian with Kevin and Ryan the Beard.
Ian's back.
Yeah.
Guess who's back?
Hashtag
back
bullets
again.
For Bambi.
Damn, dude, yeah.
So tell us about your hunting trip.
Oh, man, it's hard to explain kind of in one big, like, it's an experience, dude. You got to live through it, kind of. The first thing that kind of f***ed me up, really, about the whole hunting trip is that when you go hunting, you have to get up. You have to get up before sunrise.
Yeah.
Because you want to be out there by the time the sun is up so you can see what's going on and shoot a fucking animal. Because, you know, elks don't have 9-to-5 jobs. They kind of operate on nature's time, not, you know, your normal eggs, you know, wakey-wakey eggs and bakey kind of shit.
They're up.
You want to be there ready to go when they're kind of rolling out of bed just like, what's going on?
Right, so hunting season started that Saturday, and I woke up that Sunday morning. I got up to start hunting right about the time I'd be going to sleep after Metal Shop.
Nice.
So it was like flying to the other side of the planet. It was like this weird fucking jet lag that I had for like at least 3.5 days before I came down off of it.
Well, you operate pretty nocturnally as is, like throughout the week.
On purpose, so that I can do Metal Shop and stay up until 4 or 5 a.m. if I have to, you know, and still be marginally
functional,
productive, yeah,
a tiny bit,
a little bit, but enough to get through, you know.
Yeah.
So that whole thing was wild, and so I mean, hunting is weird because every day you get out and basically hike all day through the woods, through the brush, across a fucking mountain. Like, yeah, you get out of the truck, you drive around in the truck for a while, and then everybody's got radios so that, you know, if something happens or if you shoot an animal, everybody can come help you with it. And the very first day we were out there, we're driving around and it's 6 o'clock in the morning on the first fucking day. So it's one of those, like, I'm awake in this weird fucking state, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm still alert, but it's one of those, like, just you feel just super fucking weird, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When you're up at a time and supposed to be, like, on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're driving through, and I see a fucking huge elk standing right off the side of the road, and I'm like, stop the truck! And my dad's like, what? And I said, stop the fucking truck! So we stop and get back, and it was a cow, which is a female elk.
Yeah.
And unless you have a cow tag, you know, given to you by the state, you can't kill one, legally. So, we had to get back in the car and let it go. So, I saw one, but I didn't get to shoot it.
That would have been amazing for your hunt to be that quick.
First day, first morning, yeah. Most epic hunting mic drop ever.
Not even getting out of the truck, really. Yeah. You could have taken it out the window.
That would have been, and I would have just been like, all right, guys, thanks. See ya. And I would have gone home. I would have like, all right, I've been here for 12 hours. Hunting was great. See you later. So on the last day, the last night that I was there, which was Thursday night, everybody's fucking bummed because it had snowed for a couple of days, and normally that means that you can see fresh tracks because when it snows and walks through it, then you can see what's going on, obviously, and where they are. But there was no animals to be seen, like nothing at all. I didn't even see any birds for two straight days walking through the woods, and you just get super discouraged. Then on the last day I'm there, the radio blows up. There's 3 elk sighted within 30 minutes. And my uncle's just driving down the road, and they just start running down the hill in front of his truck. And he's like, oh, so he gets out of the truck, boom, got himself one of those cows. So we had to drag it back through the woods. And these animals are like the size of a horse, you know, they're fucking huge. And so we have to drag it down through brush, through the fucking forest. And then they gutted it on the side of the road right there. Just dumped all the guts out. Just like they turned it over and just... Those
brutal.
Things, they smell fucking terrible. It's like in Star Wars where, you know, it cuts open the Tauntaun and, like, Luke has to hide inside of it. They smelled bad on the outside. It's bad. I had to step away and crack a beer because I got close and was just like, ugh! But it wasn't even fucking close to as bad as the that we had in the hunting camp. Dude, I couldn't even go in the tent. I literally almost threw up right outside of it. I had to go inside with a burning newspaper.
Nastiest
like
smell,
like an Indiana Jones torch. I will tell you what, though. Sh**ing in the woods is awesome. I don't know if you've done that recently.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Give it a shot. I remember when I was on tour with my band a couple years ago, and Jake, our singer, was like, yo, I need to take a shit. And we were driving in the middle of the forest, like, on an interstate, you know, in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, okay, you know, what are you going to do? So he gets out of the truck, or out of the van, and we all just kind of wander off and stretch our legs out. He's gone for like 40 minutes. And apparently he went down off into the woods, off a path by himself, got completely naked from head to toe, and like had this nature moment where he squatted and took a shit completely naked in the woods. And he came back and he was like, that just changed my life, man.
Nice.
And I got it this week. Go take a shit in a weird spot this week. That's my challenge to you.
Go take a weird shit.
Go out in your backyard, yeah.
I like how when you asked if you had taken a shit in the woods recently, Ryan's like, oh yeah, yeah. Like it's a frequent
thing
favorite. For him.
Yeah, he's from Montana, dude.
Yeah, man. All right, so worst thing I've done, speaking of going to the bathroom in not okay places, I was drunk stumbling home from the bar in Missoula. And I leaned up on this tree, and you know how sometimes people get creative with the fences around their house, and instead of cutting down the tree, they'll like have the fence stop at the tree and then start.
Right.
The next
well, yeah.
Point. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Anyway, so there's this tree at the corner of the property, and they had stopped the fence, and so I started peeing on this tree, and this little white yappy dog ran out of the house, and I was already underway and kind of drunk, and this dog ran right in front of the stream.
And oh, I'm so like, you just got it.
And I'm like trying to like aim away from the dog, and the dog kept like trying to stay in
dog
front of me.
Dog was asking for it.
So I'm running down the length of this fence trying to get away from this dog, and the dog's staying right in front of me, just getting hosed the hell down.
With your bird in your hand just running through the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. So anyway, I finished by the time I ended at the bottom of the fence in time to see this like little, the lights come on and this little old blue hair comes out the door. Just like, what's going on?
I just pissed on your dog, lady.
Sorry.
Get it back in the house.
Gnarly.
So yeah, my week was good. I had to, like I said, that jet lag, that weird forest lag or whatever it was, f***ed me up. So I had to take last week off too so I could rest. And I knew if I was going to come here, I literally would just be asleep.
And you had a show the day you came back, didn't you?
Yeah, which was a terrible idea. Don't ever do that, by the way. I mean, show was fine. Show was fun. But I just was so f***ing thrashed. So it was cool, man. It was a good learning experience. I mean, I didn't really want to go out in the woods and kill anything. It was cool to just walk around with my dad for 7 days in the wilderness.
Totally, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was cool. I posted a picture on the KISW Instagram that people were not a fan of.
What was it?
It was with me with the elk that was shot, and it was dead, you know?
Yeah.
And most of the people, you know, that listen to KISW are like hunters or meat eaters or whatever. They get it. But some people were really bummed, dude.
Really?
Yeah, not stoked. So it got taken down, and that's fine. I'm not upset.
What were people saying about
it? Did you get it talking to?
I didn't even check it out.
Yeah, I did, actually. I did. I got a phone call that day. They were like, hey, man. We get it, but, you know, you probably shouldn't do that. I was like, all right, cool, whatever. You know, I'm not upset. But this animal's out in the wilderness, lived a free life, you know. That's, you know.
Yeah.
Can't really beat that, you know.
Damn.
So, I understand all viewpoints.
Always ruffling the feathers of the social medias.
Yeah. Well, it's the kind of thing where, you know, I was vegetarian for 8 years.
I believe you had a t-shirt that with a fork on it that said, let this be a weapon of... what was it? Nonviolence?
Yeah, something like that. And it's true. I get it. So I understand both sides. I'm not upset about anything.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't mean to upset anybody, but it's just cool to see. And I'm not cool, per se. Just interesting to get some perspective on things.
For sure.
And that's why I think some people just lack the ability to see things from a different angle.
I've never gone hunting, and personally, I would love to just to get out in the nature and
it's
get
hard
out in nature. Dude, and just experience it and
tough.
Say I've done it. And I mean,
you know me, I'm not a hiker per se. I don't really go out in the woods all that often. Get up at 5 a.m. and hike for 10 miles for 8 hours.
Yeah,
did you guys get Wi-Fi? Dude, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, actually, there were several parts like when not Wi-Fi, but when you'd sit on a certain mountain peak in a clearing, you could get like one bar enough to make a phone call.
Yeah.
No internet or anything like that, but you could call my mom, you know.
Nice. Dude, I used to go bird hunting every year. That was my thing. I only did one deer hunt, and that was not, it was great. I had a good time, but a little too intense for me, man. I like going out with the dogs.
It's gnar.
you know, blasting some ducks or some pheasant or something.
I mean, honestly, these guys that have been going, my dad's been going with these guys for 25 years.
Mm. Yeah.
Damn.
In the same space with most of the same people.
So they know the terrain. They right. have it kind of mapped out what exactly. they're going to do, where they're going
to
do
and
it.
And honestly,
it.
For... I'm not trying to break the hunter's code or whatever, but it's just an excuse to get the fuck away from your wife or your job or, you know, anything that you normally are cool with, but you just need a fucking break from.
Yeah.
So half of the, for them, it's like hanging out with your friends, and if you get an animal, that's just the bonus.
Yeah.
It's an excuse to do that. Not an excuse, but it's an added bonus. To
right.
It. Yeah, that's
yeah.
cool.
So, and you know, the guy who shot the elk is, you know, going to end up with 300 or 400 pounds of meat in his freezer.
That's fucking awesome.
That's insane. And that's going to last for years.
Oh, yeah.
At least.
Damn.
What about you, Kevin? What did you do this week?
Yeah.
What did I do this week? I went to a lot of shows. I went and saw, on Tuesday, I went and saw Blind Guardian at Studio 7.
How was
that? That was awesome. But they, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I left a little early because they played for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
And it was super packed in there, wasn't it?
Oh, it was sold out.
Front to back.
It was sold out. And so,
it's like a marathon headbang in the
front. I stayed up for about an hour and a half, and then they were like, we got an hour left. It's like, okay, I'm going to... You know, bounce. I don't need that much Blind Guardian, but it was awesome. They were
an hour. You're just like, holy shit.
Yeah. So
another
Blind Guardian
hour.
Was sweet. On Wednesday, I went to see Acacia Strain at the El Corazon. They played with Fit for an Autopsy, and that was a pretty good show. It was pretty packed, but I didn't watch all the bands. I pretty much just showed up for Acacia Strain, who was good and heavy and ignorant and very very negative.
Pretty much everything you'd expect.
And then on Thursday, I ventured out to Real Art, a new all-ages space that used to be the Viaduct space out in Tacoma. It was really cool. I went and saw this band called Beneath Oblivion from Cincinnati, Ohio. And these dudes are so slow and so heavy. They actually played the Highline last night.
Yeah, I was at that show.
And they were fucking loud, heavy. I think they played like 3 songs in 40 minutes. And then I saw Earth Control, formerly known as Owen Hart. They were awesome. Yeah, man, other than that, just doing the day job and trying to make time to... Oh, yeah, I filled in for KISW last night and got to play some fucking Slayer. So that
was
fun.
I saw that. Yeah, did you... Which was... who was your 90s winner? Was it Typo or Helmet?
It was Typo.
Okay.
Yeah, because people were posting some pictures of Peter Steele. I figured, if you're actually posting a meme or a picture, that votes for...
His
that
Playgirl photos?
Counts for 2 votes. Exactly.
Cool.
No,
I need to interject.
Any.
I had 2 of those Owen Hart beers that they, like, they had a friend microbrew them, like a run of beer.
Yeah.
And then that guy ended up actually passing away this year or last year.
Wow.
Mm. And I had these 2 beers in my fridge, and they both, the second one that I had met its demise this week under this exact same circumstance as the first one, in that I didn't have any other beers in my fridge, and someone was in my house, and I knew, you know, like nobody broke in, but people were like working in my house while I wasn't there, and they were like, shit, man, well, I guess there's only 1 beer left. I should probably just drink that. The thing is that it was like a super nasty ass beer that they brewed. With, like, he infused caffeine into it. Mm-hmm. So what I saw, well, the first thing I saw when I came home from my hunting trip was this beer that was clearly opened, 1 sip was taken out of, and it had been spewed back into the sink. And then the beer was still just sitting there. I was like, oh, yeah, somebody fell for that.
So bummed.
So rest in peace, man. Oh, man, I thought this was Deschutes.
That tastes like a dead wrestler.
Yeah. So RIP, my own heart beers. Just had to throw that out there.
Good times. Ryan, what'd you do, man?
Well, I didn't go to too many shows this week. I went to go see the Usnia show, Usnia lesbian show at the Highline. Last night I was I went to go check out No Quarter November over at the Highline. I kind of helped put a little bit of that together in the infancy stages, so it was nice to see a big, nice, awesome doom fest come to fruition.
Nice.
But the night before that, I did something I've never done before. I've done karaoke a few times, but I kind of really cheesed it up this time. I did Fuel.
Oh, this time?
I did Fuel by Metallica with all Yaz.
Yeah.
Just not in sync with the lyrics at all. Just drunkenly just going, yeah,
probably lined up.
And I got to say, there were 2 tables that got it. I thought it was hilarious, and
everybody else wanted to punch you in the face.
There were some professional karaokeers there, like people who were taking it way too seriously, and they looked bomb.
Man, you're mocking my craft.
Dude, this isn't cool, man. You're taking up 5 minutes, man.
I'm here every Friday, bro. You don't understand the tradition.
But yeah, bullshit.
Man,
so
I saw
that was lots of fun.
Awkward karaoke fails are the fucking worst, which is why I don't like going to karaoke and watching people just biff it. Like I saw Jake from my band try to do I'm Broken by Pantera once, and he was like, he was Magic Jake at that point. And it was god fucking awful and intensely embarrassing.
Did he think he was doing a great job?
No, he knew that he was just blowing it, but okay. He kept going. He kept trying. And it was at the Highline, and everyone was just like, because they all knew it, you know?
Yeah.
It's fucking Pantera.
Was he just missing the lyrics?
He didn't know, and he didn't know the song, basically, so he didn't know what he was doing.
God.
I thought he knew the song. I kind of pushed him into it. It's kind of my fault.
Nice.
Whatever. That was the last time. I'm not.
I did, yeah, man. I did hook up Grant with tickets to Corrosion and Conformity, so he's over there right now hanging out. I would love to be at Corrosion. But we must record podcasts.
I want
to
get one of those Corrosion and Conformity Corona beer ripoff shirts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And dealers of the heavy. Or dealers in, what did they say? We deal in volume.
Yeah. We had the Nomads on last week's podcast, and I got to listen to their full length. It's f***ing sweet. When they played live, they covered G.G. Allin, and my only complaint is they didn't throw shit on people. And if you're going to truly...
Come on, Mike!
If you're going to cover... G.G. Allin, I think you need to infect people with HIV needles. Sorry, kind of a sensitive subject these days.
Whoa there. Hey, man, HIV is making a comeback. Did you know that
make punk dangerous
one out
again.
Of every 2.5 men has HIV?
Jesus Christ.
That's fucking hilarious. One out of every 2.5 men. Ashton Kutcher?
I saw, dude, the most terrible joke I've heard about all of that this week is Jenny McCarthy came out and was talking about how upset she was that she didn't have to be informed of that when she was, like, kissing Charlie Sheen on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone made a joke about, oh, maybe you should just get a vaccine for it.
Oh.
Whoa. I was like, Jesus, man, you guys are really taking some low shots.
Anti-vaxxers.
Yikes. Damn you, celebrities!
I guess tiger's blood doesn't make you immune.
He was winning something.
Ailing!
God. Fuck us.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Good times. Well, did you see that the 70,000 tons of metal has the fucking lineup so far? I'm looking at the Metal Underground website. I didn't even know that the lineup was posted.
Oh, do you want to get into metal news?
We can. I just kind of casually wanted to say it's fucking sick.
Well, don't tell me yet. Hold on.
All right.
All right, time for some metal news. And when it's getting cold as shit out here in the Northwest, we can dream of sunny Caribbean waters on a cruise boat. At least, maybe that's what I'm dreaming about.
Speaking of news, I have a question for you guys. When you were watching Nickelodeon back in the day, how bummed were you when Nick News with Linda Ellerbe came on?
Oh, that bitch.
You're like, oh, man.
Dude, I was watching Doug.
I need to go get a sandwich.
This is bullshit.
Ugh.
Anyway, so yeah, we were talking about the 70,000 tons of metal.
Good point.
A big, big metal cruise. Ryan's been on it before. That's how we met a lot of people here from the Northwest.
Yeah, I went on the very first one, and that's actually where I met LJ. I don't remember meeting LJ, but apparently I met LJ
nice.
On that cruise, and he's the one who introduced me to
you
guys.
Too many Mai Tais.
Yeah, so this year they have a bunch of really, really good bands, among others, At the Gates, Belphegor, Bloodbath, Krok, Angren, Children of Bodom, Cradle of Filth, Dragon Force, Firewind, Flesh God Apocalypse, Gamma Ray, Hammerfall, Iced Earth, Insomnium, Catatonia, Chrissian, Lacuna Coil, Moonspell, My Dying Bride, Paradise Lost, Rhapsody of Fire, Rotting Christ, Sodom,
Samuel,
Shooter, Teresa's Tear, Vader, Valenfire, and more. So that's crazy. That's a really good one.
I would watch all of those bands while sipping on a drink in a hot tub.
February 4th through 8th. Good times.
Man, we've been saying this for like 5 fucking years.
Let's go. We should go.
Well, me personally, I'm a broke ass DJ.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I can't really afford it right now myself.
Yeah. So.
I don't
you
even
just bought a house.
I can't even afford a new pair of shoes right now.
Hey, man. I just got a pair of shoes for $20 from my friend who works at Vans because he's the Vans Employee of the Month. So he got 70% off shoes. So I got $70 shoes for $20. Hell yeah.
Is that
I'm not going to say who it is.
because what we did was not acceptable.
Oh, well, I'm going to beep out that guy's name that I just said then in this podcast.
Luckily,
is
we
that
were,
Boop?
Luckily, we were the same size.
Yes, it is Boop.
It is Boop.
Our friend Boop is a great guy.
Oh, he's awesome. Love you forever, Boop.
All right. on a serious note, obviously, there's been a lot of heavy stuff going on in the world in this last few weeks and months, and one of those things that happened this week is a fatal van/bus, or I guess bus-on-bus accident that happened this week with a band called The Ghost Inside.
It's terrible.
That spent a lot of time in the Northwest here. It was a bus accident outside of El Paso, Texas. All five band members and members of the crew are alive, but the driver of the bus and the driver of the other vehicle did not survive.
Man.
So the entire rest of their tour is canceled, obviously. And from what I saw this morning, three members of the Ghost Inside are still in critical condition.
Bummer.
Like, yeah. That's as bad as it gets.
Man, how many more lives are going to have to be lost before we can end all the bus-on-bus violence?
There is a GoFundMe to help out the band, to help out them get back on their feet again. Obviously, they lost a lot of equipment, lost a lot of shit. And get this, so I don't necessarily like Bring Me the Horizon, but they donated $10,000 to the Ghost Inside.
That's pretty tight.
That's fucking awesome.
Wow. And yeah, at
$10,000.
This point, they've raised $118,000.
Sweet.
For the band.
That's awesome.
The pictures from this look
brutal.
Super gnarly.
Really f***ing scary.
Maybe, and it's a miracle that not more people died in it.
Man, well, at $118,000, maybe they're just like, man, maybe instead of touring next time, we should just get in a bus crash. And
Ryan, you're a fucking prick.
You're sorry, a dickhead.
Man. I'm stoked that people are helping them out, though, man. You know, it's really scary. We all have a lot of friends and bands.
You should know better than that, because like now something's going to happen to you.
I hope it does.
Because you said that.
You motherfucker. Hope your beard gets shaved off.
Oh!
In a fatal crash.
In a fatal beard accident.
No one was hurt but Ryan's beard.
Ryan's beard was shorn clean
beard
off.
Beard down! Beard down!
Your band would just f***ing cease to exist at that
so,
point.
So, speaking of being afraid of beards, Lamb of God has dropped off a tour due to dare.
What does that have to do with being afraid of beards?
Terrorists, you know, beards.
No!
F*** you!
Your segue sucked.
I'm gonna throw this leaf in your beard.
Real talk, though, Lamb of God did drop off the rest of their tour with Children of Bodom and Psilosis. And, you know, I think it's fairly obvious why. They said, due to concerns brought to our attention by the venue security team yesterday in Tilburg and continued general concerns across Europe, we've decided against putting our fans, our crew, and ourselves in this position night after night, and we'll be canceling the remainder of our performances in Europe. I get it. Lamb of God and Randy don't need to deal with any more shenanigans.
Yeah.
And did you guys report on this while I was gone, how Randy got beat up by some kids in Ireland when he was walking down the street?
So
no. What happened there?
He got like smacked over the back of the head with a bottle.
Jesus.
By just walking down the street by some, I don't even know if they knew who he was.
Damn.
He was in the wrong part of town.
Well, here's the deal, though, man. When they dropped off the tour, Children of Bodom fucking trolled them pretty hard and were clowning on Lamb of God and calling them an overrated American band.
It wasn't Children of Bodom. It was the lead singer of Destruction.
Ah, okay, okay. Never mind.
Let me skip ahead to that because I did put that in here. I should have had them closer together. Here it is. All right. So, he was trying to be nonchalant, but it's a fucking easy connection to make. So, Schmeier Fink, hell of a name, singer of Destruction, tweeted this week. So
did you say Schmeier?
Schmeier. Schmeier Fink.
Okay.
Finkel is Einhorn. So this overrated.
Schmeier is Finkel.
Here's what he tweeted. So this overrated American band cancels their European tour because of security concerns. A nice way they let the fear win over freedom.
Damn.
Whoa.
So
All right, Schminkel.
So there's been a few bands that have canceled. Children of Bodom and the Psilosis are obviously going on. Foo Fighters canceled their French tours or concerts. Motorhead did also. Carcass is one band that is going ahead with their tour. They said, we play. End of discussion.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Well, this Schmeckle guy from Destruction.
Schmeier?
Schmeckle.
Schmeier Finkel?
Schmeckle, right?
Schmeier Fink.
Sharker?
Schmeier Fink.
Snarky. Well, whatever that goddamn name is, he's a real shit talker.
Yeah, it's just Sheckle. Unfortunate. Is that necessary, really, like, right after that? Can't you just be like, okay, whatever.
Shagrath or something?
He's like, "Oh, you pussy Americans don't know how to play the metal.
I am jamming." Shagroth.
Destruction.
Schnackle.
I can't tell if that makes him more or less metal.
I don't know. I definitely read
his name is fucking rad though.
I definitely read one of the most metal headlines this week in regards to Putin, who said it was quoted as Putin saying, "Whatever happens to terrorists when they go to heaven is God's problem, but I'm the one that needs to send them to heaven."
Yeah, that's like kill them all, let God sort it out.
Exactly. Yeah.
Except for in his twisted Putin, "I don't care where they go. I kill them. I break them."
So King Diamond is releasing the Spider's Lullaby Deluxe Edition just in time for his world tour.
Can I get a cha-ching sound effect?
Ching ching. That does not include the Pacific Northwest for the Abigail tour. He's going to be doing a deluxe edition that includes a CD, double translucent red vinyl, including a 23x33 poster. And it's a European import. They can be ordered now at Metal Blade Records. The king loves the imports.
Whatever, good for him. Here's the thing, though, is that King Diamond has been ramping up. Obviously, he went through the whole Mayhem Tour fiasco with Slayer. They are re-releasing all kinds of new stuff, and I guess we can just skip ahead to this one here in that... they've announced that they're working on new material.
Sick.
To put out a new King Diamond record early 2016. So he did an interview during Mayhem Festival, and I guess just now it's seeing the light of day. And they said they just got back from Mayhem Tour. I think they've only been in the studio for like 3 days and here's what he says: "We've been so busy preparing for this tour, but actually we're going to have a little break after this tour, and after that we're going to start writing music for the next album. We have some riffs, but once we start getting into the process, it's going to be brainstorming and all that stuff. So it's going to be somewhere, I guess, in maybe February that we're going to start doing that."
Nice.
So, I mean, King Diamond in 2002 put out Abigail 2, The Revenge. And then I think their last album was in 2007. Yeah, Give Me Your Soul, Please. So it's been 7 years since they put out a record.
Another band that has a new record coming out is Entombed AD. Entombed, of course, kind of split in two different camps. Entombed AD has a founding member, LG Petrov, and he was... he's also included with Nico Elgstrand on guitar, Victor Brand on bass, and Oli Dahlstedt on drums. 18 months after their first record, they came back together they are now releasing Dead Dawn, and it's going to be coming out February 26th of next year. Their first single should be released mid-December, and they're going to be doing a full European tour with Behemoth, Aboth, and Inquisition.
All right, Devil Driver's got a new record coming out.
This album cover has like the worst Photoshop. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing, and that needs to get blended a little bit better.
The record's called, Trust No One. Going to be coming out Friday the 13th on Napalm Records. They didn't put out, it's been 3 years since they put out a new record, and in that amount of time, Dez was like, "Yeah, I'm going to put this band on the side burner so that I can do Cold Chamber." And then the whole band quit, remember?
Mm-hmm. They were like, "F*** that, we're not waiting for your quit. Garbage new
metal
band."
The whole band quit, everyone. So who's in Devil Driver now? Is it just him?
I have no idea. I mean, I guess Devil Driver's kind of one of those bands where nobody knows who the hell any of the other members are anyway. So as long as they have the main guy, they'll be able to kind of slap together whoever they want and put out a new record.
Devil Driver's like level 2 in Guitar Hero, where you have to play in Devil Driver before you get to be in like a real band. Be like, "I put in a 6-month stint with Devil Driver." "Oh yeah, me too."
I don't know, man. Devil Driver's not horrendous. I mean, there's a lot of worse bands out there. I don't wish them ill, but I mean, it'd be kind of nice to...
And they were on a roll, though.
Yeah, they were doing really good.
They were on a roll, and then he's like, "Nope, Cold Chamber."
Well, those first, I think it was 2 or 3 records, were actually pretty all right metal albums.
We used to get requests for Devil Driver all the time when we started doing Metal Shop.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's kind of a bummer that you put it on... you put it on hold.
Sail!
God damn it. Thanks, Sail. Guys.
At least he's off Sail. The rap thing.
No, he's Sail. Not. Kevin, shut the fuck up.
Ah! Look at me. I'm in coal chamber. I've got lip piercings and face tattoos. Sal.
Too many energy drinks for Kevin.
I like it. Kevin, I think you need a face tat, dude.
Yeah, you know. I could tattoo hair on where my hair used to be.
Just tattoo like a little...
just
like,
tattoo the just word dots. Hair.
Yeah, hair goes here.
Would be funny, man, if I would have gotten a head tattoo when I had hair, and then my hair falls out. I'm like, guess I'm not getting any more jobs. So my friend Sam lives in Hawaii now, and she tried to get a job recently. She has like hand tattoos and neck tattoos and all that shit. I used to work at a record store with her. She tried to get a job at a porn store in Hawaii, and they told her they wouldn't take her because
she's too scary.
She has too many tattoos. A fucking porn store.
Hey, man, porn stores have standards.
Yeah, wouldn't you think they'd want somebody a little tatted up?
No, it's scary.
Looking for a
it's
porn
too alternative.
Store?
We want someone to fake tits.
I'm trying to look for my German double anal penetration. I don't need that.
She looks too much like a lesbian, and we don't support lesbians in this non-lesbian pornography shop. What? What?
Boring.
Okay.
America.
Yeah.
All right.
Hawaii,
so
motherfucking five.
To pull this back together, Battlecross is covering put out a video covering Pantera's fucking hostile.
Well, they didn't
Lars
put it out.
That's Mac weird.
Some guy got a good shot of it. We saw this. They played when Gwar was on tour here, right? It was Battlecross was on the tour.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming this is like right at the end of their tour. So this was just last week in New York, and they come out on stage and they're like, "Yeah, we want to play a song that everybody knows." And then Pustulus comes out and. Anyway, you get the point, right?
This is pretty fun. They all look like they're having a blast right now.
Pustulus from Gwar on stage with Battlecross doing fucking hostile.
They're making us. Oh, fucking hostile.
I'm gonna skip ahead. Anyway, you get it. Anyway, and I think it's awesome. So I just had to bring that to your attention.
So Tool's going on tour.
Nice. Love seeing that band live.
Yeah, no.
Never seen them.
No word on new music yet. Didn't they mention that they were going to be working on new music or something along those lines?
He was saying that like a Perfect Circle had a new record coming out or something. I don't know. He's working on selling his Purple Mansion.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But anyway, they're going to be coming through nowhere, anywhere close to Seattle, unless you want to go down to San Diego, I guess.
Yeah, that's the closest.
But
Saturday, January 9th at the Viejas Arena, you can go see Tool.
Shout out to Tim, who already saw them in their first date of 2015 alongside Primus.
I never gave a shit about that band.
Fair
Thank
enough.
You, me too.
I love them, and they're fucking amazing live.
It was the band that, it was one of those noodly bands that, because I grew up as a bass player in that section of Guitar Center. So these motherfuckers, these kids at the bass section would always be playing Tool riffs. And I'm like, man, shut the fuck up. I'm not trying to hear that shit.
Dude, Tool's one of those bands that I would have liked a lot more if it hadn't been for Tool fans.
I feel like Tool fans know that their fans are Tools, and that's why they called themselves Tool, is to troll their fans. Before trolling was even a thing.
Because every time I see somebody wearing a Tool shirt, I'm just like...
Exactly.
Yep.
You just go, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yes,
no,
you are.
I'm just playing. I love Tool, but yeah, Tool fans a little bit strange or, you know, a little bit too hardcore, which is...
Someone's listening to this going, man, fuck you, go.
Man, hey, you know what? You can make your own goddamn podcast about how much Tool sucks or rules, and you can suck their dicks.
You know, a friend of mine was telling me when he saw Tool at Coachella The only thing Maynard said to the audience the entire time was, I smell patchouli.
Nice. That's fucking
so
awesome.
So at least he gets it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
High on Fire will be joining the sickest tour of 2016 so far.
So far.
With Tribulation, Skeleton Witch, and Aboth. We've talked a lot about the immortal trials and tribulations and the breakup. If you've been listening along to the podcast, oh yes, the tribulations. If you've been listening along to the podcast, then, you know, you've heard the whole story about how Aboth and Immortal have split up. Now Aboth is going to be headlining the 2016 Decibel Magazine Tour. They're going to be playing April 1st, and no, it is not an April Fool's Day joke. They will actually be here.
I hope something funny happens.
El Corazon in the lovely
I hope the rest
Seattle.
Of Immortal shows up and they're like, ah, gotcha.
Tribulation is fucking cool. They're weird and different. I dig it.
They're different.
They're you've changed.
Remember when Corey Taylor slapped the shit out of Baron Corbin?
Yeah, I remember that shit.
Well, apparently Baron Corbin says he wants to get his hands back on Corey Taylor after he got the taste slapped out of his mouth at Aftershock Festival down in Sacramento, California.
I'm gonna spank that little boy for slapping the big man.
They were beefing back and forth.
It's not gay, it's pro wrestling.
I'm still bummed that we didn't title that podcast that.
This is...
I'd still get to get another phone call and be like, yeah, you guys can't do that. Let's see. Well, Corey and I have been sharing a few words talking about who's going to steal the show and who's going to be what everybody's talking about. And I told him, NXT is here and we're going to steal the show. We're the headliner regardless of time slots. And he saw things differently. And so the night before the match, I told him there's men of words and men of action. And I said if he was a man of action to show up, and he showed up. So I gave him props for that, and he sat front row, and I saw him there, and I had a match with Samoa Joe, who's a tough opponent. I kept going over to Corey and telling him, look, this is how it's done. This is how men do it, and I think he took a little offense to it. So I finally got in his face, and he stood up. I gave him credit for that one, and then he took a shot. I took a shot, and he cracked me in the side of the head, and it led to a Samoa Joe victory. So I found out the hard way that Corey Taylor is a man of actions, and I may have paid for my words a little bit. So I'll give him credit for coming out and showing his face. He took a shot, and he'll pay for it eventually. I'll get my hands back on Corey.
Yeah.
So it's a good little feud that's starting up between us. I'll be pretty happy when I get my payback.
Nice.
Corey Taylor, the next pro wrestler.
A match I would like to see would be Justin Bieber versus Chino Moreno from Deftones, but that's not going to happen because no. Chino is a fan.
They're friends.
Of Justin Bieber. He loves it. He said that he's admitted to Kerrang, a UK magazine, that he's a Belieber.
No!
A fan of pop singer Justin Bieber. Now, Justin Bieber has been blowing up the pop charts for a long time, but you know what? He's been converting quite a few people. The guys from Metallica have said that they have a lot of respect for the Biebs.
That means nothing to me.
Moreno named Bieber's What Do You Mean as one of his favorite singles. He said, I actually downloaded this song just yesterday. I had to. It's completely unavoidable. It comes on in the car every time I get in it. And you know what? I like it. I really do. I don't know how surprised people will be about that. I think people will know that I listen to a lot of corny shit. I've got no problem with it. So I'll just keep on enjoying this one. And all I gotta say is Justin Bieber may be completely unavoidable, may be really catchy, but so is hepatitis. And you don't want that shit.
Yeah, and your kids listen to it. You don't want them getting it either.
So have you guys been following this whole thing with the death metal cop situation?
Oh, yes.
Vital Remains. This is kind of gnarly. So this cop just recently got fired for jumping on stage with Vital Remains and singing Let the Killing Begin. Probably.
Which would be so... If I was at a show and I saw a cop on stage, I'd be like, this is fucking weird.
Yeah, a little bit awkward.
It was from the same county as Trayvon Martin.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Man, I didn't catch where it was. That's freaking rough. But anyway, so apparently his chief was saying that he had violated a bunch of other policies prior to that. And I guess he's kind of trying to play it off and saying that that was just kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. I kind of smell a little bit of bull with that one.
Yeah, although, it was pretty fucking terrible timing to do right after the whole Paris thing. Though,
yeah, that's just messed up, man. I mean, I don't know. If it hadn't been... the timing, if it was any other situation, I think it'd be cool to have a cop come on stage and like sing a song with the metal band. I'd be kind of stoked on that. But that song,
Is the same band that just got in that argument with that club owner. Remember a couple months ago where she got super pissed because they were like ripping up a Bible on stage and she was like, cut off the microphones.
Save Jesus.
Vital Remains is on a weird roll right now. So. Yeah, so I'm not going to play the video because it's pointless, but basically they intro'd the set with a cop on stage, and they start the set with What was the song?
Let the Killing Begin.
Yeah. And the cop, like, sings along with it and is, like, giving everybody, like, the circle pit signal, and he's, like, super pumped. And then they just go on. So somebody recorded it and, like, sent it in, and they were like, hey.
We're definitely doing that for Brutal Poetry.
Oh,
we
no.
gotta read the lyrics to that.
Works for me.
So,
sorry, cop.
According to Andreas Kisser.
He killed a couple people.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
According to Andreas Kisser of Sepultura, the reunion, quote-unquote, talk will go, quote-unquote, go on forever.
Of course it will, because everybody wants it to happen.
And, yeah, I'm not a... It's not.
It's not going to happen.
It's really not. It's... There's no reason for it to at this point. There really isn't.
Well, here's what he said. We had to rebuild Sepultura from scratch because when Max left, he took the management, he took the label, he took basically Ross, Andy Wallace, and everyone else.
Because he was the band. Because
he wrote the fucking song.
Because it was his band.
No, he took the riffs and the sound of the band with him because
Soulfly
started. He was the band.
Yeah.
It was very difficult for us, of course, to lose the lead singer, a charismatic guy. Max was really a one-of-a-kind lead singer, you know, so it was very difficult on that respect. But the most difficult part was really to rebuild the whole structure. Yeah.
Max wrote all the riffs.
Yeah. You had to rebuild the band because it wasn't the same.
You fucker.
It's cut and dry.
They should have gotten a new band name. Been a new band. They are a new band.
He goes on to say, Van Halen came back with David Lee Roth, which is something that the fans wanted. Dave Ellefson came back to Megadeth after a while, too. So, I mean, it's something that every case is a different case. Blah, man, whatever.
Here's a good idea. Whenever you're in a band and you only have, like, one original member, just, okay, so, like, it would be like Sepultura. Their new band would be called Sepultura's, you know, like Alien and Aliens.
And then Sepultura
like the
3.
Sequel. Yeah, like Sepultura's. Or like Himsa, like they get some new members, so they just call it Himsa's.
Himsa's. Himsa 2.
And if Pound were to get a new drummer, you could call it Pounds.
And then you could call it Kilos.
It wouldn't be the same band.
You can switch from weed to coke.
Exactly. That's why you have a new name, Pounds.
If you lose half of a two-piece, that band's done.
Yeah. That's why you start a new band called Pounds.
Oh, Blackie Lawless has been clamoring.
Every time we talk about Blackie Lawless, we have to look at a picture of him, and we have to laugh.
It's already right there. I mean, this is like the best-looking picture of him, though.
Looks like a fat lesbian.
He's scary. God.
It's like Rosie O'Donnell's future.
So he's come out recently, and he's like, I'm a born-again Christian. Like,
oh, God.
I'm a Christian. So it's just like the most unmetal thing of the week, I guess, is what we're reporting on, basically. But basically, David Ellefson came out praising Blackie Lawless on a spiritual conversion.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Megadeth is not, we're not a religious band. We're not on a religious tirade. We're not here to somehow blatantly share the gospel of Christ through the Megadeth lyrics. I mean, Stryper, absolutely. They are. There's a lot of other groups. Red, there's a bunch of other groups that are very much like, look, we're a Christian band. This is what our mission is. That's not what it is with Megadeth. So inside this group, you can have whatever personal beliefs you may want. Yeah, that's Megadeth, but... Man, shut the f*** up. What's with all these guys being like, I believe in God now. I made my money off of metal, and now I'm going to be wholesome because I'm old and can't rock. That's just me... spouting off from a young man's perspective.
Let's move on to an article about a guy who's old but can still rock.
This is going to be cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited to check this out.
Dave Lombardo has a new project with members of the Locust and Retox,
yeah.
Which sounds like an awesome combination.
And dudes from Locust, yeah.
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 The lineup is Dave Lombardo, Justin Pearson.
Did your voice just change right there?
Holy shit! Ryan just turned 67.
So your balls dropped.
He's now going to start whistling through his teeth.
Man, I'm all stopped up. Give me a break here, man. I'm trying hard
guys.
Not to wheeze.
Slayer. Dave Lombardo.
Mom, can you make me a sandwich?
Man, let me get back to the news.
No.
All right.
Fuck you.
The lineup is Dave Lombardo, Justin Pearson from the Locust and
wow.
Retox, Mike Karen from Retox, and Gabe Serbian from the Locust, Retox, and Cattle Decapitation.
Ooh.
That is a monster ass lineup, man.
They said it's straightforward, brutal punk. Metal esque, but definitely not metal.
All right. I'm down.
He says, there's no time to sing We Are the World or all this bullshit. We're all pissed off right now, and there's no better way to release anger than to be in a punk band and write punk music.
True.
I've always been a fan of Dave Lombardo. He was always my favorite part of Slayer.
Because you smoked a blunt with him.
Well, not only before that, also. That just cemented it.
Man, you smoked a blunt.
Yeah.
So,
man, he's like, here, take this.
I want to smoke some weed.
I'm never going to live this down, am I?
You need to try... Don't talk anymore.
You need to drink that tequila and man up. You need to sprout that beard out a couple more inches so you don't have the problem.
God, you guys are ass, man.
Are we ass?
Are we going to do this this next article about Schmee?
No.
Or are we skipping this?
You talking about Schmeel Fink?
F***ing Schmeel. Schmeer.
Schneckel.
Schmeigel.
Schmeckel Finkel.
I love destruction.
God, you guys better get on our level if you're listening to this podcast right now.
Okay, serious topic, guys.
No, we need to do some different than what we had lined up right there, because that's a little too f***ed up.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit.
Kirk Hammett did an interview this week where he finally admitted that Metallica thought about firing Lars Ulrich. They thought about it. So basically what the gist of all of this is that he was like, all right, somebody probably heard this, and, you know, I'm sure it was going to get out. He said, you know, that's just an old thing. At one point or another, we were pissed off at Lars, maybe around 1985 or something. We were unhappy and we might have grumbled something to someone. And then that person might have picked up on it and made it something a lot bigger than it actually was, to be completely honest. Lars has a lot of drive, and that's a part of the reason why I love this man. His drive and motivation is just so intense, you know?
Yeah.
We almost fired fucking Lars.
It could have been
Shut
done.
Shut up, Tim.
You know, Luke Yeager made a really good point about that recently. He was saying, you know, there's a really good reason why Kirk stuck with Lars. Lars made that band happen while he was still trying to figure out how the hell to play his instrument.
Yeah, he's like the behind the scenes guy.
Yeah, man. So,
and he was right about Napster. Hashtag Lars was right.
Awkward, but true. But yeah, you know, every band has to have that one member that's actually doing stuff other than just sitting there woodshopping their riffs and working on things.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like the guy who makes up for his lack of skill with the other shit he does for the band.
Exactly.
Like the guy who owns the van or like the guy who gets the merch printed or whatever.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, he's not that great at bass or he's not that great of a drummer or guitar or vocals or whatever, but he does such and such, so f*** it.
Yeah, except in Lars' case, it was, well...
Nice.
Make yourself important.
That was sexy.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, he books all the shows, he makes all the merch stuff, he does all the business stuff, and we don't have to think about it, we can just focus on writing music, so, yeah, f*** it.
And then something happened. The world was never the same.
The president knows who Jonathan Davis is.
Weird.
From Korn. So he was awarding the Medal of Honor at the White House on Thursday, November 12th. A former Army captain who tackled a suicide bomber in Afghanistan and was badly injured in the August 2012 attack. Obama recounted a moment during Florent Groberg's recovery when he thought he was hallucinating because Korn singer Jonathan Davis appeared at his bedside. The president said, Flo thought, what's going on? Am I hallucinating? Today, Flo, I want to assure you are not hallucinating. You are actually in the White House. Those cameras are on, and I am not the lead singer from Korn.
What a surreal experience.
And every day I wake up and thank God that I am not the lead singer of Korn. And so Jonathan Davis, as soon as his friends heard this, he was actually sleeping, and when he woke up to a bunch of texts and calls that were like, dude, the president just fucking name checked you.
Well, do you remember when he was talking to, like, he's also mentioned Metallica and Megadeth in other instances in the past, like during presidential interviews and speeches and stuff. So, Obama has got some fucking finger on some weird underground heavy pulse.
Wait, what do you think his favorite Metallica album is? Kill 'Em All?
Oh, God. Probably Injustice for All.
Do you think he's a Korn self-titled guy or a Life is Peachy?
I don't know. He's definitely a freak on a leash.
He's got the life.
Got the life. All right, let's get heavy
is
for
he
a second.
Or a ball tongue? Those are Korn songs, guys. Does he dream about sex all day?
I thought we were going to make... We got to transition into these heavy topics somehow. That's not how we do it.
All right, let's take a moment of silence.
No!
Okay!
It's inappropriate.
Let's talk about this goddamn extremist Christian pastor.
Oh, I want to pull up the sound on this because this guy... Okay. So, and what I saw this week during the coverage of what happened in Paris is because they attacked the concert venue where the band was called Eagles of Death Metal, mm-hmm. everyone was, I don't miss saying the name, or they were either saying Eagles of Death or whatever, or they were saying it was a death metal concert.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all incorrect. So basically this pastor, extremist Christian pastor, blames the victims and assumed that it was a death metal concert. So let me see how long this is. Oh, this is like 50 minutes. I want to find where it is in here that he says this, but the gist of it, they took out, and here's what he said.
It says in Proverbs, all they that hate me love death.
That's right.
Speaking of God, those who hate God love death. You know, there's something about when you go to a concert of death metal,
right.
Somebody might get killed.
Right.
You know, you're worshiping death. And then all of a sudden people start dying. Oh, wait a minute, what's going on? Well, you love death so much that you bought the ticket.
Yeah.
You love worshiping Satan? Well, right. Let's have some of Satan's religion come in and shoot you. I mean, that's what these people should think about before they go to such a wicked concert. And look, I'm not condoning what these Islamic murderers did. They're wicked. They're murderers.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? Nobody should be at a concert worshiping Satan with this drug-pushing hillbilly f***. Yeah. And that's what he is. I mean, all you have to do is just Google this band. Somebody told me, somebody emailed me and said, just hit Google Images, Eagles of Death Metal. And these guys are just total sodomite-looking freaks.
Hillbilly fat. Jesus.
You know, but nobody thinks about that. It's just, oh no, let's stand with France.
Way to fucking ruin everything and flip it into your agenda, you fucking crazy.
His name is Stephen Anderson of the Faithful World Baptist Church.
Thanks, Stephen Anderson, for affirming everything we thought about your church.
And your dumbass.
You, Stephen Anderson. Here's something that doesn't suck, though. So we know about Gwar and how they always go into the AV Club every year and they do an interesting cover. Well, this week, Iron and Wine, a very respected and well-known kind of indie singer-songwriter, he's on Sub Pop Records. He has he recorded a cover of Gwar's Sick of You acoustically. Let's check it out. His name is Sam, or Jim Beam. Oh, that's an awesome name.
Your socks, they smell. Your feet, they stink. You never take a bath. Your nose, it runs. You bust your buns. You always finish last. Sick, 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 sick. I'm so sick. I'm sick of you.
This is
sick, 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 sick. I'm so sick. I'm sick of you. Your face is gross. You eat white toast. You don't know what to do.
Anyway, it goes on and goes on. And then basically it turns out that they pan the camera out at the end and he's actually been playing it for Gwar the entire time and they're just standing there with his arms crossed going, what the fuck is that? So, I like it when worlds collide and not like Power Man 5000.
It's like when worlds
collide. I know you were going to do that.
Are you ready to go? Because I'm ready to go.
Go.
Let's see here.
God damn it, my voice is going out. It sucks.
Shut up, Ryan.
And the sad part is this is just going to continue because voice is so skunk
awesome.
Cruddy.
We're going to have to title this Ryan Reaches Puberty.
It's going to be happening all night.
Have they come into your class and give you deodorant yet? Because your
here's
armpits
some old
are
spice.
Starting to sweat.
You smell like shit, little kid.
Oh, you guys are the worst.
There was always one or two of those kids in your class that just smelled like shit. And we all knew that they were like 6 months overdue for that Old Spice stick. And you're like, oh man, I'm glad that Brad finally got that stick because he smells like shit.
Or the kid that had to leave the room because their parents didn't want him to know about sex. You're like, well, that's the guy who's going to get a chick pregnant in a couple years.
Or like 5 STDs before he even knows what happened.
Bummer.
Man, I was the guy with a mustache before anybody
else. I was
going to
say, Ryan was probably the stinky kid because he had like a fucking full beard by the time he was 9 years old.
Oh, dude, I started to turn into the stinky kid. As soon as I started to stink, my mom came home with about 6 or 7 different kinds of sticks
of deodorant.
She
was like, yo, here's some options.
She was like, here, pick one of them. I don't care which one.
We're tired of smelling your little gnomely ass.
Put it on.
And you're like,
that. I like what I smell like. I'm crust, bitch. I listen to Crass.
No, you're like, I listen to Crass.
Yeah! Keep it up.
You know, one of these days you're not going to be feeling well.
Toxic narcotic.
So much crap.
A couple weeks ago, we reported on Chance Garnett from Skeleton Witch was going off on a crazy ass bender. Apparently, he had just been drunk for like 9 years straight. And his band was finally like, hey,
woof,
we're tired of your shit. And I get it, man. Some of the most entertaining, funny guys that you see on stage are just wasted all the time. You think it's hilarious because you don't have to deal with it the entire rest of the day or in the van or getting to the next show or getting somewhere on time or forgetting half your shit at the venue in San Francisco while your van's got to fucking come back and grab. Trust me, I know what it's
like. You're getting personal with that one.
I know what it's like being in a band with dudes who are just fucking hammered all the time. So finally they announced that they're moving on without him. Skeleton Witch isn't going to be having him back as their singer again. No, I mean, apparently, whether he gets better or not, they're just like, dude, we're fucking done. So, as Kevin announced, they are going to be on the 2016 Decibel Magazine tour with High on Fire and Aboth, but all they've posted on Facebook is new tunes, new singer, new tour, new chapter. So right. They haven't said who it is. We'll find out.
Good for them.
It's Fred Durst.
But they're like, yo, you're done.
you're done. Son.
You need to chill out in the ice bath, guy.
Yeah. Well, on to some more... sad news. There's a lot of unfortunate news in the past few weeks. Obviously, we only did a little podcast last week because we wanted to take a week off of talking some shit, you know? It really wasn't the time and the place to do that. So we just wanted to kind of send our condolences out to anyone who's the victim of the attacks in the past couple weeks. Metallica project manager was killed in the Paris concert terrorist attack with Eagles of Death Metal. It was Mercury Records International product manager Thomas Iad, who worked with Metallica, was among the victims in Friday's gun and bomb attacks in Paris, where 129 people were killed. Metallica said, "We had a great fortune to work with Thomas Iad at Universal Music France for the past 8 years. While Thomas had the official title of being our project manager, we knew him as a member of our Metallica family, a fan, a friend, and a warm, helpful, supportive, familiar face each time we visited France. Friday, we lost Thomas at the Bataclan Theater in a way that none of us can begin to comprehend. Our thoughts are with Thomas's friends, family, co-workers, and all Parisians during these very difficult times."
I want to piggyback on that and also mention that we should pay tribute not only to everyone who lost their lives and was involved in the incident, but also, you know, there are these individual stories like that are popping up that we can all kind of relate to a little more directly, including a story of Nick Alexander, who was a veteran merch manager. And if you know anything about the touring process, especially for bigger bands, that's a very important job because there's a lot of revenue that comes in through that. And there's a lot of you have to be very organized and professional. Just like a good tour manager, a good merch manager is going to make your entire machine work a little more smoothly. And he's one of the people who also lost his life inside Le Bataclan last Friday while doing merch for Eagles of Death Metal. And a lot of musicians have come out and been like, yeah, Nick did merch for my band, this. I've known him forever. People from Seattle here were also chiming up. Like Charlie Pena was like, you know, I've known Nick because he does that also.
Yeah.
And, you know, it strikes close to home. And our friend Jonna, who works at the Showbox this week, was having seemed like she was having a pretty difficult time with it because Le Bataclan's about the same size of like the big Showbox or a Paramount, you know. So everyone who works in a venue kind of just goes, well, shit, if that could happen there, it could happen anywhere.
Absolutely.
Could have been any one of us. And one of the hashtags that people like to do, which I thought was kind of cool this week, was a lot of hashtag we are all the road crew or we are the road crew. And so, yeah, just tip of the cap to that. And, you know, they've set up a campaign to raise some money for Nick Alexander. A lot of these guys who get in on this road crew do it because they love what they do. There's money to be made there, but it's, you know, it's a working fucking job.
Yeah.
It's a blue collar job, you know what I mean? And it's hard work, so.
You know, that's a really tight knit community too.
Right.
Everybody
knows everyone.
And yeah. I'm not talking about just in one genre. I mean, everybody across genres, everybody tours with everybody, everybody works with everybody. So it's really hit home with a lot of people. It's
All right, to round it out this week's bad news, because this is all, it's not things we like to report on, but it's all things that need to be acknowledged and respected. This week, former Michael Schenker Group singer David Van Landing was killed in a car accident, completely unrelated to any of the other things that had been going on. Todd Latour from Queensryche said, "I'm beyond devastated to learn that one of my best friends, David Van Landing, has passed away from a car accident. He was full of life, love, and laughter, notably known for singing with Michael Schenker, and as a lifelong professional music career, but those who knew him best knew him as a loving friend, husband, and sibling. My deepest condolences to his wife and family." So, yeah, raise a glass up if you got one right now to, you know, all the wild and crazy shit going on in the world. Everything's got a beginning, everything's got an ending, so all we got to do is remember. Remember, people.
Remember, yeah, for sure.
That's our job, the living. That's our job left of the living, unless you smoke too much weed and you can't remember shit. Oh, we got in contact with our friend Greg from Trial, Greg Benick, who is a motivational speaker, a juggler, a musician, kind of just like a true Renaissance man.
Absolutely.
With, you know, every nature of the word. And he's been working on a project for several years now after the huge the earthquake in Haiti. 100 for Haiti, which originally started as, it's got its title because it started as 100 shows, concerts, that he put on or got people to organize on across the country, all as a benefit for the Haitian, you know, refugees, I guess is what you call them, from their own homes, as they're basically their island, like, collapsed. I was watching some random shit on YouTube this week, and I was not researching, but came across somebody talking about the country of Haiti, and what they labeled it as is just like a nation of like just a perpetual bad luck nation. Like, mm-hmm. Pretty much everything that could happen to a country has happened there. There's been political uprising, famines, natural disasters, you know, the whole economic collapse, just everything. And then on top of that, they had like an 8.0 earthquake and everything fell apart. So Greg has been working for a long time on that. I mean, how else can we elaborate on what he does? We need to get him up here, obviously, so that he can tell us exactly what's going on. But
absolutely. I don't know. It's a great cause. It's an incredible foundation that they've started, and they've been doing amazing work. And I'm glad that we can play this little snippet, and you can definitely check it out. So 100 for Haiti. We'll play it here for you, and we'll end the podcast on that note.
Yeah, we're not going to do brutal poetry this week, a little somber this week, and we'll do it, you know, next time around when we can get the jollies in. But, yeah, here's the info, and we'll see you guys again next week on Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
By signing up for a recurring monthly donation to 100 for Haiti, you can give people in rural Haiti access to clean water and help them live safer lives. A little can go a long way. Find out more about our work at 100forhaiti.org. That's all spelled out, 100forhaiti.org.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.